I've got prostate cancer, but I really wanted to make it to the big game with my grandson. And here we are. Go, 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 go! Go.
With ERLEADA, apalutamide, being there is possible. ERLEADA is a prescription medicine used to treat prostate cancer that has spread to other parts of the body and still responds to a medical or surgical treatment that lowers testosterone. ERLEADA may cause serious side effects, including heart disease, stroke, or severe skin reactions, which can lead to death, falls, fractures, and seizure. Seek immediate medical attention if you experience symptoms of a stroke or severe rash. ERLEADA can cause harm to or loss of an unborn baby. Common side effects were fatigue, joint pain, rash, decreased appetite, weight loss, high blood pressure, hot flash, and diarrhea. Ask your doctor if ERLEADA is right for you. Or tap this ad to visit ERLEADA.com. CP43-9267-V1.
With the Wells Fargo Active Cash Credit Card, you can earn unlimited 2% cash rewards on purchases you want and purchases you need. That means you earn 2% cash rewards on what you want, like season tickets to watch your favorite team, and 2% cash rewards on what you need, like paying for parking. That's the beauty of the Active Cash Credit Card. It's ready when you are, with unlimited 2% cash rewards. The Wells Fargo Active Cash Credit Card. That's real life ready. Terms apply. Learn more at wellsfargo.com/activecash.
Vacations are always good. Sometimes they're even great. And Celebrity Cruises is about to ruin all of that. Because once you explore with us, you'll never want a vacation any other way. And with new quick Caribbean escapes, you'll never want a weekend any other way either. Celebrity Cruises. Nothing comes close. Visit celebrity.com, call 1-800-CELEBRITY, or contact your travel advisor. Ships Registry, Malta and Ecuador.
The South Dakota Stories, Volume 7. My trip to South Dakota was the best summer ever. Now I don't need to go to Mars, because I've been to the Badlands. And I caught a bigger walleye than Dad when we went to the Missouri River. Then I rode my bike through these huge rocks called needles. Ooh, I also saw my first herd of bison, even a fuzzy furry baby one. I can't wait to go back and see more. There's so much South Dakota, so little time.
Hi, I'm Nick. I'm getting married today. I'm also a firefighter and first responder. When you move over and slow down, you're making sure I can make it to my ceremony to start the next chapter of my life.
When you see flashing lights, remember, they're not just roadside workers. Thank you for moving over and slowing down.
What is happening? Welcome to the Plus Pitch Podcast, your morning pitching podcast from PitcherList.com. My name is Nick Pollock. Today is June 17th, and yes, we are going to talk about baseball. Cutter Crawford, 6 innings, 3 earned runs, 3 hits, 1 walk, and 9 strikeouts. He dominated against the Yankees. Now, of course, 3 earned runs, I get it. Oh, not so dominated, Nick. Fine. But 4 base runners, 9 strikeouts. I mean, he allowed 2 home runs on 2 cutters. One was just right down the middle to Judge. One was above the zone to Trevino, who was ready for a slower pitch and took it out fine. The other was off of a bloop single and then a ground out where LeMahieu went to first, the third, and then a wild pitch. Super weird. My whole point is that Cutter Crawford just went against the Phillies and the Yankees and absolutely thrived. So feel good about Cutter Crawford right now. 4-seamer, sweeper, and cutter, of course, all working in tandem as he went around the zone. And then he actually had some nice splitters and curveballs in there too. I still do feel like there isn't that money pitch. The sweeper is looking like it a little bit more than usual. Still, it's not as overwhelming as you watch Cutter Crawford, but yeah, this works, and you should feel really good at this after the gauntlet. I also want to mention, thank you all so much for your patience. I know I didn't have a first pitch podcast, or actually a plus pitch podcast, rather. On Friday, I was out of town. That will happen every so often. I'm going to see if I can maybe get someone to sub in for those days. Maybe we'll see. But really do appreciate your patience with that. Logan Gilbert against the Rangers got his aces against ace tag because he got the win. 8 innings of 0 runs, 2 hits, 0 walks, and 9 strikeouts with a gallows pull at 21 whiffs. You love to see it. I do want to mention that with Logan Gilbert, it's 4-seamer slider as his baseline. Slider has really become that major pitch in the zone. The 4-seamer is helping as it can. We still want it to be like that Bailey Ober type upstairs and whatever. But it really comes down to his third pitch. Does he have a number 3 on a given day? And here it was the splitter. Sometimes it's the cutter. If it's the curve, fine. I just need one of them too. And I really expected it to be the cutter that had been the thing for Gilbert. The splitter was the one that actually showed up here. I want to believe that the four-seamer and the slider set enough of a foundation that he'll have something else moving forward. And when he doesn't, it's still okay. So Logan Gilbert, congrats. Ace is going to ace. Same with Tyler Glasnow against the Royals. Got the win. 7 innings, 0 runs, 3 hits, 1 walk, 9 strikeouts. I mean, ace is going to ace there. Ronel Blanco against the Tigers did what you wanted. 7 innings of 0 runs, 0 hits, 3 walks, and 8 Ks. King Cole there, 41% CSW. What's kind of weird is his changeup isn't always there. That is, I mean, it works. It gets the results. And this is something that might be weird to you guys, is a lot of changeups, they can work inside the zone more so than others, especially if they're not really, they're more of a surprise pitch at times when they miss. And it's one of those things that, you know, you bluff when you never bluff and you don't actually mean to bluff. And because you didn't mean to bluff, it works. So Blanco, it happens also with like Tanner Bibee's changeup at times. It happens with, happened with John Means's back in the day, stuff like that. Blanco's changeup had success here, even though he didn't really execute it as he wanted to, but the slider was really good. The four-seamer was around the edges. That was great to see. Ronel Blanco now gets another test, or actually a proper test, I should say, against the Orioles, as this was against the Tigers. Good luck, Ronel Blanco. We hope that you come through there. Jordan Montgomery finally did it! Okay, you got the White Sox. You should do well. You gotta win. 5 innings, 0 runs. Sure, 6 hits, whatever, but... or, sorry, 6 base runners, 7 Ks. And it took a 10 over 22 whiff curveball to do it, which is a little annoying. Like, you're not going to see a 10 over 22 swing strike rate curveball. You're not going to do that. 55% CSW. What? Okay. However, this was a neckbeard approach. That is, Jordan Montgomery, we've seen as he's gone through this massive amount of turmoil, he's been going too much into the zone and getting hit too hard and not able to get the strikes around the edges as he used to. And when you saw him in the playoffs last year, you saw him just nibble, 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 and it worked. This was that. This was that neckbeard approach, really effective. And I hope that it sticks. The problem now is he gets the Phillies. So if this was another easy matchup like the Tigers, or it'll be the Marlins or something like that, then I'd say, hey, look, Jordan Montgomery, go after that again. But now it's the Phillies, I wouldn't say that you have to do this. He could just settle in as a Toby. I mean, this was the White Sox, and would you start him against, I don't know, the Padres or the Red Sox or so? Maybe, maybe not, right? Not as clear cut. Phillies, you say no. Okay, cool. You don't feel like you need to hold on to it as you're going to get this big game changer? Probably not. 15-teamers, you kind of have to, I think, but 12-teamers, no. Josh Fleming got 4 innings. What? Wild, I know. 4 innings, 0 runs. It would be a gold star if it were more than 4 innings. I don't really think we're going to see much of Fleming. More of Fleming. Okay. Ben Joyce went 2 innings, and then Jose Suarez went 1 of 5 runs. Ben Joyce, 0 runs and 2 innings of 3 strikeouts and 2 base runners. And got to say, I don't really talk about Ben Joyce, a reliever. This was him opening. But, man, he throws 101, right? And you think, okay, what's the negative of this? Well, sure, it doesn't have the best IVB. But he has such a flat release, 1.8 height-adjusted VAA, which is nuts. And then he has like 6.8 extension, which is above average. If only he could like locate that fastball instead of just chugging as hard as he could. And, you know, if he becomes a starter at some point, which honestly, if I'm the Angels, next year Ben Joyce should be a starter. I'm just throwing that out there. Like, what the heck do you have to lose, Angels? Okay. Goes down to 96, 97, fine. But that Hava is insane. Oh, man. Just locate. He can't locate. That's the problem. Okay. Eric Miller against the Angels. Also a bullpen game. It's kind of nice that the Giants and Angels are like, hey, bullpen game. Yeah, sweet, sweet. Okay, cool. Bailey Ober against the Athletics. 6.1 innings of 1 run, 6 hits, 2 walks, 8 Ks. This was as legit of a start from Ober I've seen all year. Of four-seamers legit going upstairs. Changeups down, cutters for strikes. It was exactly as you would have drawn it up. Beautiful. Good stuff, Bailey Ober. We feel good there. Miles Michaelis against the Cubs got the win. 6.1 innings and 1 run, 4 hits, 0 walks, 5 Ks. And I have not been giving Michaelis enough credit because this is his 6th quality start in 7 games. He's returned a sub-3 ERA and about a 0.8 whip in that time. Now he gets the Giants. He's throwing sliders for strikes and four-seamers out of it and sinkers out of it, and that's kind of worked. It's like the Griffin Canning method, but just worse secondaries. But maybe that works. Maybe Michaelis has just figured this out. If he's available, I guess take a chance against the Giants and see how it goes. Mitchell Parker against the Marlins. Oh, thank you. You didn't do well against the Tigers. You did well against the Marlins. Okay. 6 innings, 1 earned run, 6 hits, 0 walks, 4 Ks. And look, it was 0 earned runs against the Tigers because it was all 4 unearned, but it was a short game. So overall, 1 earned run in 10 innings for the week from Mitchell Parker with a win. We'll take that all day. Good stuff here. This was fastballs with splitters all over the zone with those splitters, like Keaton Wynn kind of thing. He's now heading to Coors, which I don't necessarily love, but that could work. I do worry. Essentially, the Coors' biggest effect is that IVB on four seamers goes down dramatically. We saw it. We saw who was it that went into Coors, I believe, last night. It was like, oh boy, we'll get there soon enough. But yeah, I feel like you can drop Parker if there's something else to chase. It's not really like you have to hold on to Parker. It was two good matchups, guys. Jameson Taillon against the Cardinals, 6 innings, 2 earned runs, 7 hits, 2 walks, and 3 Ks. He's nothing special right now. If he has his cutter working, that's great. Maybe he can get there, but he's just a quality start play if you need one. He should be fine against the Mets, but then again, Grimace, right? Yeah. But no, I don't really feel like I need to go after that for Taillon. We have other guys to talk about. Corbin Burns, of course, ace is going to ace, actually. I'm just going to get rid of that one. Pretty easy stuff there. But Colin Ray, Jesus Luzardo, Flossie Mattown, Tyler McGill, Dane Dunning, Brady Singer, so many others. And we're going to talk about all of that after this.
Looking for ultra cozy sleep? Every Stearns & Foster mattress is handcrafted with the finest materials for irresistible comfort every single night. During our July 4th sale, save $400 on select mattresses. Shop now at stearnsandfoster.com.
I've got prostate cancer, but I really wanted to make it to the big game with my grandson. And here we are. Go, go, go!
With Erleta, apalutamide, being there is possible. Erleta is a prescription medicine used to treat prostate cancer that has spread to other parts of the body and still responds to a medical or surgical treatment that lowers testosterone. Erleta may cause serious side effects, including heart disease, stroke, or severe skin reactions, which can lead to death, falls, fractures, and seizure. Seek immediate medical attention if you experience symptoms of a stroke or severe rash. Erleta can cause harm to or loss of an unborn baby. Common side effects were fatigue, joint pain, rash, decreased appetite, weight loss, high blood pressure, hot flash, and diarrhea. Ask your doctor if Erleta is right for you. Or tap this ad to visit Erleta.com, CP43-9267-V1.
With the Wells Fargo Active Cash Credit Card, you can earn unlimited 2% cash rewards on purchases you want and purchases you need. That means you earn 2% cash rewards on what you want, like season tickets to watch your favorite team, and 2% cash rewards on what you need, like paying for parking. That's the beauty of the Active Cash Credit Card. It's ready when you are, with unlimited 2% cash rewards. The Wells Fargo Active Cash Credit Card. That's real life ready. Terms apply. Learn more at wellsfargo.com/activecash.
Grandma's place always smells like pine. She said, get out the chat room and clean mine.
The Glad Girl Group coming at you with a throwback jam. That was Glad Force Flex Drawstring Trash Bags featuring Pine Sol Original Scent. And that's better than all good. It's all Glad.
The South Dakota Stories, Volume 5. South Dakota seemed like the perfect place to unplug. But I ended up connecting to the world around me. A world where each sunset was painted. Where I felt adventures pulse with every step. And where cold water trickling, pine swaying, and grunting bison became my favorite soundtracks. I just wish I didn't have to leave. There's so much South Dakota, so little time.
Break. Colin Ray went against the Reds, had a great week, got another win. I think his second win. I don't know if they got in the previous one, but had a good start. 6 innings, 2 earned runs, 4 hits, 1 walk, and 6 Ks. And I really don't think that he is doing too much special. Like, he just is locating on the opposite sides of the plate. He only had 2 whiffs on, actually didn't have 3 whiffs on any pitch is what I want to say. So maybe it works against the Padres, Colin Ray. It's kind of funny if you don't remember this. The Padres traded Colin Ray to the Marlins for Luis Castillo. And then Colin Ray had to get Tommy John. So they reversed the trade and then Castillo went to the Reds, believe it or not. So maybe he can disappoint the Padres one more time.
But I don't really want to go for that for Colin Wright. Okay, Jesus Luzardo against the Nationals, 5 innings, 2 earned runs, 5 hits, 3 walks, 2 Ks. Big story here is that he was sitting just 92. He averages about 95, 96 for the year, and he topped out around like 94. And it was because of back issues, apparently. That's what he said after the game. That's good news, because you see dramatic 3 ticks down, and you think, that's elbow or arm, and back is something that you can get over quickly. However, I wouldn't really expect Luzardo to start this week. Like, why? If you're the Marlins, just like let him rest a little bit. Especially considering he's a trade piece. Like, you do not do that. So it's a little frustrating, Luzardo. Don't worry too much about the 92. If he's healthy to start against the Mariners, if they say no, he's totally fine, then okay. It's Seattle and all. But he is still a premium cherry bomb. It's just a little frustrating right now. Tyler McGill against the Padres got the win. 5 innings, 2 earned runs, 5 hits, 2 walks, and 5 strikeouts. Cutter went 75% strikes. That's great. Four-seamer isn't as well spotted as I want it to be. I do wonder if this is... Tyler McGill is like the light Kodai Senga. And what I mean by that is his splitter is called the American Spork to go against the Ghost Fork. It's worse. The four-seamer can be a very good pitch, but isn't spotted well. And he's nullifying it a bit by throwing these cutters. And that's what Kodai Senga does, is he throws this hard four-seamer. It should do really well upstairs, but it's just kind of a scatter plot. And then the cutter is just so good inside the zone because it's playing off of the four-seamer. Guys can't tell if it's a fastball or the cutter, and that means that you get bad contact on both. They're trying to guess, and they can't do it. And Tyler McGill is kind of doing that a bit. Unfortunately, he doesn't have that splitter like Kodai Senga does, but this is kind of working, and it really is reliant on that cutter getting strikes. He's done it again. This was 2 straight now with that cutter, so I'm kind of buying in, and I think I want to go for that start against the Cubs for Tyler McGill. Dane Dunning against the Mariners. This should be a, good outing, right? 8 Ks, great. 4.2 innings of 200 runs, 4 hits, 3 walks. It's you got to go a little deeper than that. 98 pitches. He had a high foul ball rate, which is why he had 3 walks. It's also why, he just got deeper counts on everybody, right? So more 3-ball counts and also more 2-strike counts too, because of those foul balls just extending at bats. So leave Dane Dunning on the wire. This isn't really the thing you want to go for. Brady Singer went against the Dodgers. 6 innings, 3 runs, 5 hits, 2 walks, 4 Ks. We'll take a poor quality start from Singer all day. And what's interesting is that's 4 seamers thrown more than sinkers. One more. It was 25 thrown versus 24, but 4 seamers showing up as he's just been sinker slider. And I do wonder if guys go against the Dodgers and they think we need to do something different today. Just today, the Dodgers, the only way to beat them is to surprise them, and they have all this data on us. And Brady Singer says, fine, today I'm going to throw 4 seamers. So we got 44% called CSW, 10 over 25 called strikes. I think that was the game plan. So that's kind of interesting. I wouldn't expect the 4-seamer to return after this, especially against the Rangers. I don't really want to go for that still. Zach Eflin against Atlanta, 5.2 innings, 300 runs, 7 hits, 1 walk, and 7 strikeouts. That's a Philly, which is unfortunate, and 7 Ks, it's annoying. Atlanta's heating up a little bit. I'm glad he was able to find those strikeouts. A lot of them were like way out of the zone, and on fastballs, like, why'd you swing at this Jared Kelnick? He's a Holly, gets the Pirates next, whatever. Like, Eflin isn't the ace that he used to be. We've accepted this, and it's fine. Dakota Hudson against the Pirates. Blech, it's fine. You don't want to touch Dakota Hudson. Frankie Montas, honestly, you don't really want to go for it. There was that one game of his Blake's on Blueprint coming through. I was like, whoa, that's a cool thing. And then, 5 innings of 3 earned runs, 4 hits, 3 walks, 5 Ks. Yeah, you just don't want to do that. Jose Barrios against the Guardians got the win. That's nice because everything else was terrible. 6 innings of 4 earned runs and 8 hits and 0 walks and 1 strikeout. How am I supposed to butter my bread with this? It's annoying. Great underleader. I think you just got to keep going after Barrios. And hey, at least you got a win, right? That's cool. Marcus Stroman against the Red Sox. 5 innings of 4 earned runs and 11 base runners and 3 walks. Look, his splitter and his slider were overthrown for a sub-15% CSW in each. The curve went 4 for 11 strikes. And the cutter and the sinker just weren't doing enough. It was just one of those games where Stroman was trying to find the thing and nothing really clicked. So it happens with Stroman. I'm still starting him against Atlanta, even though Atlanta is looking a little bit better. We'll see if that actually lasts for them. Kenta Maeda was sitting 91. That's cool. And he gets the White Sox next, but this was 1 strikeout. How am I supposed to butter my bread with this? And 4 runs in 5 innings against the Astros. And I just think to myself, is the ceiling that good? Probably not. And I don't really want to do that. Sorry. Kenta Maeda. JP Sears against the Twins, 4.1 innings of 4 runs, 9 hits, 4 walks, 1 strikeout. How am I supposed to butter my bread with this? So many guys with just no strikeouts. I mean, Chris Paddock, we'll get to that soon. But with Sears, he actually didn't pitch that badly. He was actually a little, just a touch off, and those 4 walks and 1 strikeout were like not the absolute scatter plot and ridiculousness that we've seen before from Sears. But I don't know. Do you really want to go after this against the Twins still? It's still a cherry bomb thing of JP Sears. It could be corrected. It could not. So, I'm not really going after that. Ben Lively, 4.0 innings of 4 runs, 6 hits, 3 walks, and 4 Ks. And honestly, this has been a Vargas rule for Ben Lively. He then got quote-unquote injured where he went back for testing, and then they said he was okay, and he made this start. And obviously that disrupted him. But the thing is, when it comes to Vargas rules, when there's a disruption, that's enough. Look at Austin Gomber, right? And that makes me a little concerned about Lively. The fastballs were just not there, all that kind of stuff. He gets the Jays next again. I don't want to do that. Chris Paddock went against the Athletics. He'll get them again, too. 2-point winnings of 5 runs, 5 hits, 1 walk, and 0 strikeouts. He was looking really good against Rocky Road. He had a 95-mile-per-hour fastball. It was like, oh, man, this is it. No, that pitch was 93-94 with 0 whiffs on 22 thrown. What the heck? I mean, sure, he should be better than that, but I don't want to start Chris Paddock against the Athletics now. Hurston Waldrep against the Rays, 3.1 innings of 6 runs, 5 hits, 4 walks, and 2 Ks. Now he's on the IL with right elbow inflammation. And Nito said on the podcast, on the Craft, if you're not listening to that podcast, what are you doing? He's a worse Keaton Win. Yeah, so go listen to the Craft with Eno and me, pitching podcast. It is awesome. He made that comparison. I thought, no, Waldrep has a harder splitter. Nope, Wynn does. I got that wrong. Like, yeah, Keaton Wynn is a better Hurston Waldrep. Yeah. Joey Estes against Minnesota. 2.2 innings of 6 runs, 8 hits, 1 walk, and 2 Ks. Nope. He'll get the Twins again. Yeah, I don't really feel like you should be chasing this. The ceiling isn't too high. Dylan Cease just did not have his mechanics in order. He couldn't really find the plate. I personally think that Cease should be throwing a cutter. That might help. Essentially, when the fastball was over the plate, it got hit, and then he missed it out of the zone. And I just feel as if Cease should be throwing a cutter in there as well, just to help mix, help those times, even though he doesn't need to be perfect place, just get in the zone. But really, at the end of the day, it's like, you lose your mechanics, you lose your mechanics. So he got trounced by the Mets, 7 runs, 3.2 innings. It's what happens to Cease at times. So it goes. Drew Thorpe, unfortunate, 3.1 innings of 7 runs, 6 hits, 5 walks, and 0 strikeouts. How am I supposed to butter my bread with that? What? You looked so good in your MLB debut. But then again, that was because the changeup looked really good. And it's kind of weird to see him locked in for the first start with it, and then the second start just be completely off. And this is what it looks like when Thorpe doesn't have his changeup. I mean, it's that simple. There's nothing else to save him. Which means that, yeah, the ceiling isn't very high, and clearly the floor is pretty bad with that shag rug, as I mentioned in the previous roundup. Like, shag rug, the young man's floor, that is, rookies are more volatile and have a lower floor than veterans. Well, not this veteran, Zach Wheeler, 4.1 innings of 8 runs, 9 hits, 2 walks, and 4 Ks. It's a one-night bland. 4 home runs against the Orioles. What the heck? Yeah, it was just one of those days, and so it goes. Looking forward to today and tomorrow's games. No updates for today, so we're going to move forward to tomorrow. We have Aaron Nola, Tanner Houck, Justin Steele, Framber Valdez, Logan Webb, Pablo Lopez, and Nick Lodolo all in that top tier. Probable start is Michael King against the Phillies, which I know is kind of contentious, but I think that Michael King is looking so good that you just got to do it. Jake Irvin against the Diamondbacks, Bryce Miller against the Guardians. Chris Bassett against the Red Sox. By the way, Irvin's on too good of a roll. You're going to do that. Walker Buehler, hopefully you have your locations in, well, not your locations, your game plan with four seamers better in this one at Colorado. Mike Lorenzen, stream pick of the day against the Mets. He's just a Toby against a good matchup. Stop with the grimace. And then Nestor Cortez against Baltimore. Very contentious. Consider putting that in questionable start, but I think you have Nestor Cortez. You're probably going to start him, hoping for a win here and just, you know, don't be terrible. Spencer Schwellenbach against the Tigers, I actually like a lot. I think that Schwellenbach, this is the moment for Mr. Crescendo to really get that ramp up. Is Mr. Crescendo, because Schwellenbach, you get it? Okay. I like this start for him. He's a kitchen sink guy with a 96-mile-per-hour fastball, 91-mile-per-hour cutter, 86 slider. He's got changeup, a curve. He's got the whole thing, and it's a step above your typical command guy of, like, instead of 90-91, he can throw 95 mile per hour, 96 mile per hour fastball, so that's pretty cool. Questionable start tier, you have Alec Marsh and Aaron Civale, who were almost in that probable start tier. Alec Marsh gets at the Athletics. That can work. Then again, Alec Marsh, you really don't know what you're going to get from him. And same with Aaron Civale, who's taking a step forward, I think, with the cutter and the curveball. The sweeper's still a little bit weird, and the Twins are kind of good-ish. I just feel like I want to see a little bit more stability from Aaron Civale first. Also in that questionable start tier, you have Hogan Harris against the Royals. His four-seamer has gotten worse over the last two starts. It was 17 inches of vert, which was so exciting. Then it was 16, and then now it's 15. And I don't think that the changeup and curve are so good that I'm willing to overlook that against the Royals. But maybe he does bring it back here. Something to consider. Tristan McKenzie's looked oddly fine against, and now he gets the Mariners, so I guess I'm cool with that. But man, that just is such a cherry bomb thing. Tobias Myers has gone 14 innings of production the last two starts, 8 innings and 6. This is the Angels. I think he got pretty fortunate in those games. But then again, that fortune could obviously continue if he is throwing enough strikes. Bailey Falter gets the Reds. His four-seamer can do well on a given night. And the Reds don't scare me inside of PNC Park for Pittsburgh. And you have Griffin Canning, who does a good job of avoiding the middle of the plate with his fastball and then using his secondaries over the plate. And that is against the Brewers, so I don't really want to go for that. And then the do not start tier, you have Rodery Munoz, who just did well and located effectively, but we've also seen what it looks like when he doesn't and the ceiling isn't too high. Even though this is the Cardinals, I would probably avoid it. Luis Severino gets the Rangers, so I'm avoiding that one. Jonathan Canning looked pretty impressive in his return to the majors. However, it's the Astros, and I'm just going to be looking for something here that makes me latch on for his next start against the Tigers on Sunday. Casey Mize, speaking of which, the Tigers, you have him against Atlanta. Atlanta's doing better, and Casey Mize still isn't showcasing the full package for me to go after that. Lance Lynn doesn't matter. He gets the Marlins. Nope, don't do it. Albert Suarez gets the Yankees. Oh, boy, that's going to be a grind. You have Slade Sassone against the Nationals. Don't care. And Austin Gomber against the Dodgers. Not going to do that one. That is it for today. Thank you all so much for your support. My name is Nick Pollock, and may your BABIPs be low and your strikeouts high.
I've got prostate cancer, but I really wanted to make it to the big game with my grandson. And here we are. Go, 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 go!
With Erleada, apalutamide, being there is possible. Erleada is a prescription medicine used to treat prostate cancer that has spread to other parts of the body and still responds to a medical or surgical treatment that lowers testosterone. Erleada may cause serious side effects, including heart disease, stroke, or severe skin reactions, which can lead to death, falls, fractures, and seizure. Seek immediate medical attention if you experience symptoms of a stroke or severe rash. Erleada can cause harm to or loss of an unborn baby. Common side effects were fatigue, joint pain, rash, decreased appetite, weight loss, high blood pressure, hot flash, and diarrhea. Ask your doctor if Erleada is right for you. Or tap this ad to visit Erleada.com. CP43-9267-V1.
With the Wells Fargo Active Cash Credit Card, you can earn unlimited 2% cash rewards on purchases you want and purchases you need. That means you earn 2% cash rewards on what you want, like season tickets to watch your favorite team, and 2% cash rewards on what you need, like paying for parking. That's the beauty of the Active Cash Credit Card. It's ready when you are, with unlimited 2% cash rewards. The Wells Fargo Active Cash Credit Card. That's real life ready. Terms apply. Learn more at wellsfargo.com/activecash.
The South Dakota Stories, Volume 7. My trip to South Dakota was the best summer ever. Now I don't need to go to Mars because I've been to the Badlands. And I caught a bigger walleye than Dad when we went to the Missouri River. Then I rode my bike through these huge rocks called Needles. Ooh, I also saw my first herd of bison, even a fuzzy furry baby one. I can't wait to go back and see more. There's so much South Dakota, so little time.
Whether you're a morning person or a bedtime procrastinator, everyone deserves a mattress that works for their style. And you'll find the best mattress for you at Ashley. The new Tempur-Adapt collection at Ashley brings you one-of-a-kind body-conforming technology, making every sleep tailored to be your best. The collection also features cool-to-the-touch covers and motion absorption to help minimize sleep disruptions from partners, pets, or kids. Shop the all-new Tempur-Adapt collection at Ashley in-store or online at ashley.com. Ashley, for the love of home.